Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bitcast. Today, I have a returning guest. I have Vaughn Wilson on the podcast, Prep Coach UK, my coach. So, no, what else are you? That's it, really.
I'm just a tall, lanky guy from Dundee, that's all. But listen, ha happy to be back. Love being on last time, and yeah, looking forward to getting into stuck in today.
Yeah, so a lot's obviously changed since we were just saying, I think it must be like 2, 3 years since the last time you were on.
I want to say yeah, because I was certainly a VW Physique at the time, I think,
Yeah.
and I can't remember if it was just when we started working back together again, or just before that, or something, or maybe towards the end. It was something like that, but it was a long time ago. And when I think back to my eldest son, he was very young at the time.
Yeah.
It's
I
been a
think
while.
it was very much just a baby. You definitely didn't have Nero then. It was just
It
his.
was. It sounds like it was probably like, well, it must have been, because Caden was born in 2021, so it must have been kind of early 2022 or something.
Yeah, I think. Do you know what? I actually think maybe you just found out Rona was pregnant again.
Oh man.
Now, I think it was because you said, and then you were like, "I'm done with coach." Like, because then you left Cal, didn't you? I
Yeah, I mean, I
want
just,
to say it was then.
that's went quick. And as you can see, my hairline is just going back. But yeah, it's been a busy few years, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to change the view on my thing a second. There we go. But yeah, so coaching wise, obviously things have changed for you as well. You've rebranded.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely have rebranded. And we were just saying off the podcast that the last time you saw my boys was literally just before I rebranded Prep Coach UK. And why did I do that? Because towards the end of VW Physique, I just wanted to work with prep clients. My client base was dwindling because the content I was putting out wasn't really in alignment with what VW Physique stood for.
Yeah.
Had to rebranded that. 2023 was just probably the most successful year I'd had. 2024 was double that, and then this year, you're expecting to see the same as last year. So it's been busy. I've certainly fallen into a pattern of like how many people I could put on stage, I think, every year. Although that year, each year seems to increase, right? Because you learn, you get more efficient. But it's just trying to balance all that with being a good dad as well, being present as much as I can, a good husband and stuff. And at the same time, just trying to climb the ladder, trying to get athletes better results, and now this year get PCA Pro cards, IFBB Pro cards if I can. And then yeah, each year just gets a little bit better.
Yeah, that's cool. And did you find then rebranding like that kind of helped your business quite a lot as well?
Yeah, for sure. So like when I was VW Physique, it was a little bit of lifestyle, and it was a little bit of your photo shoot prep and your comp prep clients. But I think that because my content I was putting out was very much just all about like PEDs and like comp prep and stuff like that, I was kind of alienating the lifestyle and confusing who I wanted to work with. So when I rebranded, like, of course, you go on my Instagram page, it's all about competing, it's all about the ins and outs of that, the PEDs and stuff. So if you're a lifestyle person, you're on my page, you ain't inquiring. So
Yeah.
it certainly helped from an inquiry perspective, allow me to work with who I want to work with and attract who I want to attract. And because of that, the results the past few years, of course, that effect has snowballed, because the better results you get, more people come on board, blah, blah, blah. And yeah, each year I've just found the level of inquiry is just stepping up
Yeah.
a notch, which is certainly where I want to go. So without rebranding, I certainly wouldn't be in the position I'm in today as a coach, but I just chose a direction I want to go in, and kind of where I want to be when I rebranded. Like, where do I want to be in 5 years? And it wasn't where I w was at with
Yeah.
VW Physique. I was quite far away. So I'm still on the path, and there's been some monumental moments the past few years, and one of them just recently. So yeah, I'm just excited for what's to come, as always.
It's been amazing. Obviously, I've been working with you for oh, 4.5 years, probably now on and off.
Crazy, man. Yeah, it's true.
And like you, I even like as just me, like looking in, I can see how much like I was your first ever overall like in 2021
Yeah, you were.
and then now it's like I'm seeing overalls like every weekend
Yeah, it's really, really special, man.
Just
Like
got your first pro card at PCA, like.
that, that emotion that you saw me have at your first overall, like when I was crying and stuff, like times that by 10, and that's what I was like when Kennedy won the overall. It was just such a similar feeling because, like, when you won that
Yeah.
overall, I'd felt like I'd had a monkey on my back for a wee while, and I wanted that as, as bit of a stamp of authority as a coach to be like, okay, you've got clients that win overalls. Like, what you're saying is correct, and you have a bit of a social proof and authority. And yeah, that was such a special moment when you won that first overall. And there's a picture of you on the wall now. And then Kennedy this past weekend, just something I've wanted for a long time. When I rebranded, the direction I had was, I says I want to be the coach that's winning PCA Pro Cards and some IFBB Pro Cards alongside that too. And just when it happened, it was, I think, the emotion that came out, of course, it was a huge amount of joy, but it was followed quite immediately by a huge sense of relief. And the vlog's not out yet, but when it is, you'll see me just break down. I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop crying.
You're like, yeah, I might have cried. I was like, no, I know you cried.
It just, yeah, it meant a lot. And of course, not just Kennedy's result, but yeah, everyone's every week. I'm kind of finding if clients aren't winning overalls, I'm like, what have I done wrong? You know what I'm saying? No, that's not the case, of course. But yeah, there's a certain kind of level as a coach you get to, and I guess there's an expectation from the outside looking in as well, like of what's expected from the outside world. So it's been a lot of fun, but I still feel in my journey as a coach is in its infancy. Got many, fun years ahead and some big goals to tick off, and one of them with yourself as well, and what we're trying to achieve. And I'm sure I'll be just as emotional at that as well. When the time comes, it's just, yeah, it's just for you, it's a case of when. And I look forward to being there and ugly crying when it happens.
Yeah, I think we'll both be ugly crying, so it's fine.
Yeah, not saying a word to each other, looking the other way.
Yeah.
Trying to not show the tears, like
I
effects. But yeah, it's, this job, if I could call it a job, has just given me so much in my life, so many good memories that just incredibly grateful for, and that I'll look back and be like, wow, that's what I do for work, for money. It didn't feel like that. It feels awesome.
Do you still feel like, I don't know if you ever have, but like a bit of imposter syndrome. And do you feel like when you do get those big wins, it kind of helps not feel like that?
100%. Like, for the past 3 years, I've saw less experienced coaches, not as busy coaches, get results like PCA Pro Cards or IFBB Pro Cards or big overall wins at universes or whatever, and kind of be like, when's it going to be my turn? Like, why did I get that 2, 3 years ago? But I think we all experience a little bit of, I'm going to say, doubt. Okay, are you good enough? Are you where you want to be? But I think those doubts and moments of that, of course, I'll feel, they become quite fleeting, or have been fleeting more so the past year or so. And the reason they become fleeting is just the results. You're just like, well, like, they're getting better every year. The caliber of clients are getting better every year. It's going to come. But yeah, I think for a while, I'm not going to say I would never have believed they were going to come. I knew they would, but it was just a case of like, when's it going to be my time? Because by the time Kennedy stepped on stage, she was the 89th person to step on stage since 2017. And I was like, I think for new coaches, the Instagram is not great because they see coaches winning pro cards, coaches winning this, that, and next thing. And I'm like, it took me 89 people to get that one. And I was like, it was worth it.
100%.
We do it again. So I think I still have those moments. I think we all do. And if anyone says they don't, they're a fucking liar. I think that the coach that's, got clients winning the Olympia still feels that way. Still feels like, how the fuck am I putting people in Olympia? Yeah, but you back your ability the more that you just like see things happen, see results. You get physiques, you just know what to do. And yeah, it's brilliant. So yeah, they happen, as I'm sure they do for us all. But Not so much anymore as they used to, like, 2023, I guess, when I rebranded. Yeah, 100% felt that. And then now it's like, well, no, like, I know I'm there type thing, or on my way.
And I think, like you said, Instagram is like a massive thing that comes into play for both coaches, I think, and athletes, because I think as a coach, you see these people that are like, I'm an online coach and I'm driving around like a Ferrari.
Right.
And then you're like, well, I'm not driving a Ferrari. Like, I've got like a fucking clapped out TT. Like, I must be doing really shit. Do
Yeah,
you know?
and
I think so in your face all of the time, isn't it? And as an athlete, then it's all these people that are winning. Then it's like, oh, why haven't I won the overall in my first show? And it's like, yeah, most people don't. But
yeah.
when you see it all the time, it makes you think like you're not good enough
Yeah.
or not.
I mean, you get a little bit desensitized to it, don't you, when you see it all the time. You expect, because no one posts it when they lose.
Yeah.
No one posts it when they lose, right? Or okay, maybe people do, but it's not as celebrated. It's not as like, oh yeah, brilliant, mate, you got fourth.
Yeah.
Or to like, oh mate, you just won your PCA Pro Car and overall, and of course people chase that because it's human nature to want that. But the reality is that that's not often the case. And the people I have winning overalls are clients that have been around for a long time, have been in the sport a long time. Very, very rarely am I getting a client coming to me for the first time that wins an overall. It happens, of course. I had a first timer this past weekend and she was like this far away from winning the overall. And I
Yeah.
think that she could probably get that same sort of position other shows across the year. That's 1 in 89. It's for the genetically gifted. So it happens all the time. But listen, for as much as if you go back on Instagram the past few years, like there's bad results in there. There's 34 people on stage last year, like 32 placed, two didn't, but that's because I took over their prep with like 2 weeks to go,
Yeah.
or whatever. So even at me as a coach, I had 9 people in PCA Scotland and 5 of them placed.
Yeah.
In the top two, and another four, maybe we got fourth or didn't place, and that's just the way it goes sometimes. But the next, the next week, those clients that maybe not place win. It's
Yeah.
bodybuilding. They can fall flat on their arse 1 week and then win overall the next. And I've legit seen that
Yeah.
happen before. But yeah, Instagram's great for so many things. I mean, without Instagram, I don't think that. Probably how I mean we wouldn't be speaking, we wouldn't be working together because I reached out to you all those years ago. So it's good in itself, but it's good also at times to just not listen to the noise, have a chat with your coach, whether it's yourself or me and whoever you're coaching, just say, oh, what's possible, like, because I've had people say to me, like, first timers, like, oh yeah, what a sword, and I'm like, cool, that's not happening this year, that'll happen in 3 or 5 years, and they go, oh right, I'm like, yeah, not quite there yet. But yeah, I think in terms it's good in a sense, it's not good in others.
Yeah, massively. I think it's a, the reading it is a highlight reel, and I think that's what we've got to learn to do. So obviously, like we said before, the last podcast, you just had one little one, and now you've got two. What I see from you, and I really love, is that you very much balance like your family life and your coaching, and you're still a really, really good dad. So, and I know that like your kids come first with everything, which they should do. So, do you want to talk a little bit about that, how you're kind of managing that? Because coaching's a busy job.
Yeah, I mean, with great difficulty is how I'm managing it. I'm really fortunate enough. I have an amazing and supportive wife, and just grateful for everything she does. She, like, without her support, she gave up her job when we had our second one. I mean, income wise, it didn't make sense to for us to pay nursery fees. We would be down on money if she worked. So it then allowed me to really go full hog with coaching and be able to go multiple weekends down south. So when the season starts, as it did. Middle of March there. I'm really intense from March until June. Like there's, I think I have 2 weekends off, and it's because Rona's away and I'm watching the boys.
Yeah.
I've just had to say to clients, I can't come to your show because I'm looking after my kids then. But what I have a tendency to do is, and I think this, the only way I'm able to do this is because I'm not a competitive bodybuilder anymore. When we were found out we were pregnant with Nina, like something I had to give, and straight away, like I'd text my coach Cal at the time. I was like, Cal, bodybuilding's done for me, man. Like, it was that point. I was like, what's the thing that's going to help me provide for my family for the next 25 years? And I was like, well, it's coaching, and I need to be better. So I'll the past this weekend will be the fifth weekend I've been away from home. Not like Saturday and Sunday, but a couple of them it's been both days. So on a Monday they're both at nursery, so I don't see them. Tuesday I kind of is my day with them. I take them away. I take them to the gym, believe it or not. They come with me because I want them to just see their mum and dad, value movement. And they have a bit of fun, and they eat a lot of snacks and watch their iPads, but they do play a little bit. Wednesday I'm able to take my son swimming, to swimming class. That's really special. Drop one off at nursery, look after the other. Thursday is our family day, so like Thursday today it's our Easter because I'm away on Sunday. Friday, one of them's at nursery, and I look after the other one in the afternoon. So, yeah, I mean, it's got its challenges for sure because there's not as much time. But I think that the hardest part for me will be when they're at school, and at that point, something will have to give. And that's why I could see myself, and I've said this quite openly on Instagram, like I'm trying to lean towards more getting people want the PCA Pro card and want an IFBB Pro card because my scheduling can be a bit better than what it is at the current moment. I mean, I'm really intense from March till June, and then it does quieten down a bit, but it's still fit out of people this year. So yeah, it's difficult in the early stages of the season to try and be present with the increased workload of being away at the weekends, but also then during the week, doing the social media stuff, doing the website stuff, doing new setups, like keeping the efficiency of the business up here. But at the same time, the thing like they'll always come above that is my kids. So I'll stay up later to get shit done as long as I can get a few hours with my kids. Or I'll get 4 hours of sleep and still be totally fucked, but I'll still take them to the gym with me and still spend the day with them because like it's the only time I get. Like, as when you become a parent, like your goals become secondary. And I think it was Monday. No, sorry. There was one day this week where it was just full on, where I'd start work at 6 a.m. I had a break from like 11 to 12, back on the laptop till 4, went and picked the kids up, did the kids stuff, and then back on the laptop at 8 till 10. Like, just had to do it. And like, the biggest driver, I'm passionate about bodybuilding, but the biggest driver for me in my job is providing for my kids and my wife, for them to have the life they want to live. And it gives me a tremendous amount of drive and purpose to continue to do this when probably I feel, I'm not going to say mentally burnt out, just when I feel extremely tired from traveling up and down the bloody M6 every weekend. When it's the English shows, I guess the travel is the part I dislike, but I love the moments. But I hate being away from my kids. If there's one thing, and it's why I guess I love having a small cohort of you guys that do IFBB, but I don't want to be the coach that has to go to internationally every other weekend because it's just more time away from them. I think I'm happy to do that every now and then. But yeah, I mean, they are my reason why, the biggest driver, the thing that keeps me going is, no matter how sometimes you get tough results and you question your ability and whatnot, it's like, right, you've got to pick yourself back up and get better because I got to go home. And regardless, like, I came home from PCA Scotland, kids didn't know that that was the biggest result I'd ever had. They just knew that daddy was home. Right, and the same applies if I've been driving 6 hours and it's been a rough day and clients maybe haven't done as well. And I take that really personally because I often attribute, and this isn't quite right, but this is how it feels. Often a bad result, often in my head goes, right, a bad result means it's not good for the business, which is not good for your family. You're not supporting them, you're not being a good dad. And that's crazy, but you can't unfeel that in the moment. And of course, the same thing, if your results go well, blah, 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 you feel like you're a good dad, you feel like you're supporting. And I think what I've tried to do this year is I've tried to not feel as bad when you don't get a good result. It doesn't make you a bad person, a bad dad. But at the same time, if you don't feel the bad, you can't feel the good as much. However, I'm really struggling to do that because the good feels really good. But yeah, just my family are the biggest inspiration to me that I'll ever have. And I just want to make sure that, if I could lie on my deathbed one day, I look back and know that just I provided for them, I'd be like, job done type thing.
And actually, like as they get older, things do change. And when they're at school, you've got that time when they're at school that you're doing your stuff then. And it might be that when they're a bit older, you can do more abroad shows because the kids don't need you as much. at home.
Yeah, of course. I think they won't need me, but there's a, as a parent, I understand that about 90% of the time I'll spend with my kids on this earth is when they're older, right? And I have a really finite time to spend with them when they're younger, when they actually, when their dad's cool, right? And they, you know,
Your kids think that.
well, I don't know. I'm gonna need to ask them.
Ask
I hope they do.
them.
So yeah, I think that you're 100% right. You know, but there'll be a huge part of me that wants to enjoy the time I've got with them, that until before I know it, it'll just be me and my wife in the house, and it'll
Yeah.
be quiet, and there won't be little handprints on the windows, or piles and piles of washing to do, and the house being a tip all the time, like, and I'll miss that dearly. So I just try. It's a fine balance act between wanna trying to be the fucking best coach I could ever be in the UK and blah 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 blah. That doesn't matter to my kids. It just
Yeah.
matters that I'm the best dad. So, yeah, I think I do an okay job at that. At least I like to think I do. I know I could be better. But yeah, that's me. That's how I try and balance it, if there is a word for that.
No, it's cool. And I do think it shows a lot about you as a person. And for me, like, that's one of the reasons I like working with you, because your morals are in the right place, because
Yeah.
you do care about people. Whereas I think that we're in an industry where there are so many people out there that they almost do this coaching to fuel their own self-ego, and they don't really care about people. And if you're someone that looks after your kids right, you're more likely to look after people. If you're someone that can't even look after your own kids, how are you going to look after me? Do
Yeah.
you know what I mean? And I
Right.
think that's, to me, is always been a big kind of.
You gotta coach. Like, I think some coaches will just do anything they can to put as many people on stage as they can each year, regardless of what how happens in that person's life.
Yeah.
I want people to step on stage that are in a really good position and can do, and it has no detriment to their life,
Yeah.
right? I put 30 other people on stage a year. I don't need to put someone else on stage for the sake of it. So if someone comes to me like, you know, like, Vaughn, this has happened with the kids, I'm like, prep's done, prep's over. Like, spend time with your kids. Like, there's more important things. And yeah, I think that over the years, the only way, I guess, to experience that is becoming a parent and just
Yeah.
matured. Before that, I always still did coach the person first, and you know, I was always trying to just provide for Rona at the time. It was just the two of us, but I can't just treat people like robots.
Yeah.
I can't detach my emotion from the process, because that's not who I am. And I think that what makes me a really good coach is I do get quite emotionally invested with clients, and I get to know them, and you know, it's more than just, okay, I got them a win. Sweet. It's more
Yeah.
than that. It's more than that. Like, hell, you know, shout out to Ali competing this weekend, Tall Bikini Northwest. She got third at the PCA Uni qualifier, and I was bawling my eyes out when she came off on stage.
Yeah.
Now, from the outside looking in, you're like, why are you doing that, Vaughn? Why is it like fucking third place? I'm like, no one needs to know why.
Yeah.
It just meant a lot, right? And yeah, I couldn't, for as much as I said there earlier in the podcast, I've tried to not feel the bad, and then that way, you know, feel as good. I'm rubbish at it.
Yeah.
I can't help but feel the bad. What I've just tried to do is, yeah, I've thought about it like that, but I just can't. It's not who I am. So, yeah, just people are people, and to me, if you treat them that way, and they'll feel heard, they'll feel valued, they'll feel listened to, they're always going to have good things to say about you. Whereas if you do the opposite, and we both know of horror stories of people doing the opposite, nothing but bad things to say about them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, I guess, just my values and who I am as a person that just think make me, like, if someone said to me, Vaughn, what makes you a good coach? Like, I'm certainly not the most knowledgeable on different training modalities. You will not get, you know, I'm all right though, right? I'm certainly not the most knowledgeable on specific PEDs, but I got a fair bit of knowledge on that as well. I think that if you ask me, you know, it's not one particular thing that makes me good at what I do. I think it's, I understand people.
Yeah.
I just get people. Like, I think any good coach can give someone, can prep someone and get them in shape, but great coaches can get people over the line. well and get them to look how they want to look by just supporting them through the hard times in prep. Not all coaches can do that. Like, some coaches are too busy that they can't give that emotional support when class is 6 weeks out and they're fucking like, just crying because they don't have any food left for the day or whatever it is, something's happened. But like, I get it. I've been there. I can understand it. I can relate to it. And, in those moments where someone wins or gets a third place and I'm starting crying, like, I just remember what it took to get there. And yeah, just, it's, the job in itself is amazing.
Yeah, it is cool, isn't it? And I completely agree. I think it's when you know how much someone's put into that, you do feel that emotion. You should feel that emotion, regardless of
Help.
that third place or an overall, like
Yeah. Can't
it's
help it.
different to different people, doesn't it?
It's even when I've had plenty of clients like come fourth, or let's say there's two of them, they come second, or three of them, they come third. And it's totally fair. Like, the people were just like better, bigger, or whatever it was, and they come off, and the first thing I say is, I'm sorry. Can't help it. And they're like, what do you mean? I'm like, really sorry, I couldn't get you a result, or the result we wanted or expected. Instantly feel like I've let them down. Nothing to do, could be the best peak. They've fucking never looked this good. And they got their arse handed to them. And I'm like, I'm fucking gutted. I'm like, I feel it more than they do.
I mean, we ended last year, like you kept saying, oh, I'm really sorry, I'm really sorry. Right, but
I was like, Molly, like, if you fire me, you're going to coach, like, fair enough. yeah, just, I don't know. It's, I think that the tougher results is where you get those, as you mentioned, the doubts or the imposter syndrome of like, am I actually good at this though? Like,
yeah,
that
100%.
couldn't even get that result. Like, fucking hell, you're nobody. Like, but and then you go, nah, fuck up. Like, okay, think of it logically. And it's just like, honestly, when I've got like 5 6 hours on that drive home up the M6, it just goes over and over and over my head the result. And I'll review the whole week and not, or the week or two or the prep. Like, nothing could have done differently, would have changed it. But it's only till like I get home and then start thinking about what we're gonna do the next week, does it then like, say, right now, that's done, move on. Don't let it affect the Monday.
And I think by doing that, though, you've fixed the issues that could have been there as well.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, like with you last year, after the success we had in 2021, like, there's an expectation from you as an athlete of what you expect to do, how well you expect to do. Of course there is, right? But of course there's an expectation of me as a coach to be like, well, okay, Molly achieved that, then we should achieve this year. And when it doesn't happen, someone's got to take the blame. So as a coach, I'm always like, this is my fault. And you should, like, and it frustrates me as when I see other coaches blaming the athlete for X, Y, and Z. I'm always like, no, my athletes have done absolutely everything I've asked them to do. And if we've missed the mark, that's my fault as a coach, right? For obviously, for your scenario, it was very different, right? As to why we missed the mark. And that's, I'm not going to say that's sorted now, but you've got the reason behind that. And next time around, it'll be a different story. But yeah, I think that I always take the responsibility. And every single client that get a tough result, like, always turns around to me and they're like, Vaughn, never say that again. Like, you don't need to, like, you've done everything. Like, you couldn't have coached me any better. And I'm just like, I know, but sometimes as our coaches, we think, right, if we don't get that result, it's not true. Like, a result, a placing, a win, an overall sort of whatever, that would be a direct reflection of how good we are, when that's not often the case. But in an industry where you are judged on your results, it's hard not to. And then when you sometimes have, let's say, one show, you have nine clients in it, six wins, an overall sore, blah, blah, blah. And then you have another show, you have three, and those three don't place, you instantly feel like a failure. But you're not. It's just how it landed on that day. But yeah, that's the beauty of bodybuilding, isn't it?
And I think people look into it, they don't see. They don't see sometimes, like, oh, that person actually was really ill the week before. Like, so maybe they just didn't come in like they should have done. And there's things like that people don't see all that. They just go, they swipe on Instagram, ah, whatever, like on to the next,
I mean, because it's so, like, because Instagram is so current, well, if you ain't posting first and results, you're last. effectively, right? And if you ain't posting it, if you're posting like, oh, we got this, we got that, and then I scroll and the next thing I see is a sword and a win, I'm like, well, I'm naturally, if I'm someone that's never competed before, I'm going to be drawn to the wins.
Yeah, 100%.
And our industry is so like click of a finger. So that's where, you know, there's a big want and a desire for me for that client to do well, because I remember what it feels like to win. It's really cool. But at the same time, it shows the outside world looking in, well, what are your reflections as a coach? Can you back up what you say? Can you produce results that, you know, I wanted to try and turn someone IFBB Pro or PCA Pro 3 years ago. I just didn't have it yet. So if this killed me a few months ago, right? I was fucking gutted. Someone inquired and said, hey, do you have any IFBB Pros in your roster? And I had to reply and be like, nah. And she just went, okay, thanks. And I was like, fuck. Because I was like, I want that. But I wasn't there yet. So a few years ago, you know, I wanted that, and it took a wee while to come. So, but then again, I sat there and I spoke to Ali Birch, who you know, and my client Aaron was there. And as I'm upset, as I'm crying, like this relief, I say to them, I was like, I've wanted this for so long. I was like, I says, but in the journey on the way home in the car, I says, the only way that that happened on Sunday was from the hundreds of times that it just didn't go my way. So I was like, right, well, for other results that didn't go my way, I was like, I know that one day they will. Same for yourself with last year. I was like, right, well, okay, we went through that. Maybe we were due that because we had such a successful first season, but then I know in time, like, there'll come a time where it'll happen, and I'm like, fucking remember 2024. Fucking remember that shit show. And I'll be like, but the only reason we're there now is because of 2024. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, it's cool. I can't even remember the question, what the question was, but I think I've went off on a tangent. Yeah.
So are there, like, obviously in the industry, like, are there coaching, like, changes that you want to see to coach in general? I know the NPC has said they're going to bring out this qualification. Do you think, like, that's a good thing?
I mean, of course it's a good thing and it's a benefit. Is it going to change much? Nah, I don't think it will. Because let's look at NPC as a business model, right? Millions and millions and millions and millions of pounds and dollars. They start restricting and saying, right, you as an athlete, now this isn't what they're going to do, but as an extreme look on it, if you as an athlete, you can only have a certified coach to then do our show. What about the other millions of pounds that they'd lose out on? But that's not why they're doing it. They're doing it so that people can see there's a certification for that coach actually looks all right. Someone can fake that they're a pretty good coach, right, on an exam or whatever, and in reality say, well, fuck, in reality, I'm not doing any of this,
That's true.
because of how different we all are. You know, I think that over here, the education in the UK is far greater than it is in the US and in Europe, and I don't care what anyone else says, that's just the reality of it. But change is what I would like to see. I don't think you'll see that sort of certification come in for any other Fed. It would be great, but you try telling coaches that are putting people in Olympia, oh, listen, by the way, you've got to do the certification now. It's going to be met with some form of resistance because they're like, look, I've got like 50 pro wins. I don't need to do a certification. So of course those reputable coaches should be fine. I think it helps the up and coming coaches for sure. It gives them a little bit of like a leeway versus a coach that didn't have it. But I don't think like it's not something I would be like, I need to have that. You know, like if you're confident in your abilities. What I'd love to change in the industry is shit coaching. But wouldn't we all? You know, we would all love for people to get an amazing service. We'd all love for people to get to be valued, to be heard, to get a quick response, to be listened to not be treated like shit or spoke to like shit or have their, you know, hormonal health go in the gutter post show or whatever it is. Like, we'd love that, but nothing will change, in my opinion, with how the industry is growing. I think that the shit coaches are now they're seen for what they are. Why? Because you have such an abundance of really fucking good coaches. You know, you have like the people at the top of their game, right? If we're talking about the UK, like you've got certain coaches like Cal and Zach and that just do IFBB Pros pretty much. Then underneath that, you've got your Dan Welborn, your Team RS, that they do a bit of PC, mostly PC in that one too, right? But see underneath that, right? I'd love one day to put myself in that bracket. I see underneath that, you have thousands of coaches that are fucking really good. They just aren't bit quite as busy, but they're athletes, and they've got good coaches, and they've learned through their practices. So I think because you've got so many, the ones that give a shit service, like, they can just get found out because people talk in this game, right? If you get a shit coach.
I do think it is spoken about more now, like what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable. Whereas I think before, like, people didn't really say anything. It was just like, well, that's just how it is. And it's like, what, that's how it is. Like, I'm supposed to be spoken to like shit. I'm
Yeah.
supposed to be training like this. I'm like, me not having a cycle for God knows how long. That's normal, is it? And because the coach would say, like, no, that's completely normal, which it's not, they would then think, oh no, that must just be how it is.
There's just such an abundance of information here in the UK, whether it's like coaches that do podcasts or have educational platforms, do webinars, do Zoom consults, whatever it is. Like, I've learned and still learn every year so much from my peers in the industry or from mentors that I look up to, and all of them are in the UK.
Yeah.
So because there's shared knowledge now, the rubbish stuff gets weeded out quick because people are like, well, that's just not how it should be, not over here anyway. It's maybe different in Europe and in the US. I had a guy a consult with a guy from the Netherlands the other day, and I said, why do you want a UK coach? He went, education in the UK is way better than here. And I was like, fair. So yeah, I mean, I think that because of the information is shared freely, the level of coaches, the experience is rising, that you're not seeing as many as that as you just described. And when people see that, they're like, well, fuck, my coach is getting coached by this one, and it's not that like that. My other friends get coached by her, and it's not like that. So yeah, I think slowly but surely they'll get weeded out, and they'll just. There is already such a high standard. And if you're not willing to coach someone to a high standard, there's 10 other coaches that are. So you have to do a good job. Simple as that. And if you put in 50% effort, someone else won't step in there and give them 150%. So, and that's brilliant, by the way, for an amateur bodybuilding and professional bodybuilding for sure.
Absolutely. And the other thing I want to talk about is like obviously fit models now come in. I know you think it's like quite a good thing. Do you think that maybe you'd like to see it in the likes of the PCA ranks? Do you think because people are talking about men's physique coming in as like a one as well?
Yeah.
What's your kind of thoughts on all
I mean, it's an interesting question. I think that if you see it in PCA, it's not going to be for 5 to 7 years. Why? Because they have trained bikini,
that?
right? Now, the bikini class is evolving at PCA. Of course it is. And those girls are, at a British standard and a universe standard, fairly lean. But then the trained girls are a bit more muscular and a bit leaner as well, which gives girls that opportunity. But then you're thinking, well, what about all these girls that want to do fit model? Now, this is its first year. Well, let's look at an example of a class that only came around a few years ago, and let's look at how that's doing. Wellness, right? Wellness was a class that was introduced, what, 8 years ago, maybe something like that, 9, 7 years ago, or whatever it was.
I did like this whole thing. I did a podcast on it. I looked into everything with it. And I want to say 2016, 2017.
Yeah, right. So one too far away. Now, how's that doing? Numbers still pretty low. Right, and I'll go to Tubos Scotland next week. I have a wellness girl. I will not be surprised if there's only herself in her class or a couple of others. It's just the bikini class is so popular, right? And it's you're either a bikini girl or you fucking love figure. There's only really a few that do wellness. Now, of course, someone who's a pro is going to come on here and say, oh, that's a load of shit. I did a pro show and there's 20 girls. Yeah, cool. I'm talking like amateur scene, like. PCA Scotland, there was 5 girls in the wellness category. And of course, the amateur scene, like a lot of them aren't true wellness. They're a little bit in between. But that's a different class because you need a lot more muscle for that. I think that as an entry level, fit model is amazing for people that they're seeing how big the girls are getting in bikini and they've went, I don't want to do that, but I'd love to compete. Now, the model federations here in the UK, for a better word, they're not just not as busy, right? And they're not as, in my opinion, they're viewed on as a little bit of a joke at times, you know, or have been in the past. But you've got NPC coming in with fit model, really reputable, well-known fed, obviously links to the best, biggest show in the world. I think you'll see that class get a lot busier and really quicker than wellness ever did or ever will.
Because
And because,
wellness is quite genetic,
yeah,
which
for
so I
sure.
think you're always going to be a bit limited. Like, if you speak to a lot of girls, they're like, I'd love to do wellness, but like, I'd love to do wellness. I'm never going to be doing wellness.
Yeah, I
It's
think, but that's where I think that PCA will probably watch and see how busy Fit Model is at all the Tubers regionals, and see in like 3 years when they start to see like, oh fuck, 20, 30 girls do that every regional. Of course, from a business model and a financial perspective, they would be silly not to. They would really be silly not to. But then, at what point do you stop adding classes? Right, there was a huge big ask for a 45 bikini, and they did that. There is an even bigger ask for a master's figure. They've not done that yet. Now the physique guys are saying, well, we want a plus 45 physique class. At what point does it stop? And what point do people then start saying, oh, there's too many classes? Well, I don't know is the answer to that. But I wouldn't be surprised if you see it introduced to PCA, but I think it's probably going to be, let's say, three, I want to say more 5 years, but maybe 3 to 5 years, 100%. And it's only a good thing for the industry.
Yeah, I think so as well. Because I
For
think,
us coaches, anyway.
yeah, and I think as well, like with bikini and the NPC, like you see some girls and they do toned figure in like PC, and then they go to the NPC and they do bikini, and like that's the difference. And when you look at, if you look at like Dane Lynn Bailey, right, and she was like top of her game, right, women's physique, but she's, you look at those photos, she's smaller now than what the top figure girls are. So when you look at all of that, the figure girls now are like probably smaller than what bikini was, like is now. Sorry. So the
Yeah, I
heavy
hear
ones
you.
are bigger. So
Yeah,
that's like,
I think bikini will still get bigger.
do
Like, well, the reason it will is because you've got Fit Model now. It
you?
allows, like, we're like, now, okay, maybe in NPC there is now at an Olympia level, there is like a, we don't want you any bigger than this. Like, you know, some of the girls in the top five, they're told, do not get any bigger, right? Fair play. But everywhere else, well, bikini was at the bottom of the tier now. It's now not. It now then allows bikini to get bigger. Why? Because fit model will get bigger. And as bikini gets bigger, figure will get bigger. Like wellness will get bigger. It's what you'll see, you know, if this is 2035, and I mean by that point I'm completely bald and we're on a podcast again, we'll say the same thing. Right? Because the bodybuilding industry evolves, and it will continue. The people, the education, entry level, where that's at now for a newbie versus where it was at 10 years ago is massive, right? The standard of coaching, the education of those coaches, the abundance of knowledge on PEDs, the availability of PEDs here in the UK, of course people will get bigger. And it's why you go to first timer shows and you go, fucking hell, like, I can't believe they're first timers. So yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if you see fit model, sorry, bikini get bigger because of fit model.
I think as well, though, I don't know if, how much you've kind of been looking at it, but there is a disparity between bikini in like Europe and America anyway. And I know I've spoken to some girls that have been to the Olympia and that, and they're like, it's so hard because you go in as a European girl, you've qualified in France, Spain, England, and then you go to America and they're like, you're too hard. Like, why are you girls so hard? Like, that's just how it is. But then also the girl that I think got a pro card last weekend, I want to say, it'd be interesting to see the Ben Weezer this weekend. She was jacked. Like she was like she wasn't as lean as what you would see in bikini, but muscle wise, like she was still very muscular.
Yeah, I mean, like, look at Scarlett last year. She's fucking really lean, really hard. But that's where, if any one bikini girl wins a pro card in Europe or UK, like, you got to go do a few pro shows in the States to see what they want. Probably go get your arse handed to you because you're too hard. Be told you're softer. That's a bit of a head fuck. You don't want to get softer. So you go in an off season, then you realize you prep again for the year after and you come in softer and you win. Cool, sweet, done. But yeah, that's just the way it goes. It's because, I mean, look, The Olympia is a US-based organization, right? So that's if that's where you want to compete, that's where you want to do well, like go there and do it and do a few different shows across multiple different states. It's not something I've ever had with a client do yet. Will it be something that a client does with me in the future? Like, yeah, I would love that. I'd love that to be the case. Not many, but certainly a few. That's the thing, like for me, like a lot of those clients that want to do that are probably the ones that are homegrown, ones that have been working with me for a long time, and that's why it means so much more. I don't think you, as it currently stands, 2025, 17th of April, someone is going to come to me for wanting to win their IFBB Pro card when there's coaches that have that. I'd love it, but until I produce that, you ain't going to get that inquiry that's going to come in and want that straight away. Do you know what I'm
I
saying?
agree.
Whereas that's why with the PCA Pro card, like I got emotional because I was like, I can say, yeah,
I can
I've
do
got a
that.
pro now. I can do that now. Although I knew and had that ability, confidence and ability years ago. It's just nice to like, right, okay, the work you're doing and like it's worth it. It's paying off. Just keep going. So yeah, I'm looking forward to what the future brings. Maybe that's you, Moles. Maybe that's you that does a wee trip across the States.
The thing is with America, right? I would love to go to America and do it. I actually think I would probably do better in America because I'm not hard. But even I remember we were trying to say, I wasn't all the way in last time, but even when I am all the way in, I'm never like hard.
Correct.
So I think in a way I'd probably do better over there. But also, like, it's fucking expensive to go to America.
Yeah, that's what people don't realize, that this is a hundred, not hundreds of thousands, but this is a hobby that costs you thousands of pounds, and we choose to do it. You know, you don't get paid to do bodybuilding. You pay to do it. The 1% of the world maybe get paid when they win the Olympia or a pro show. You know, they win enough money to just get by. But yeah, it's not something that a sport or hobby or career where you can just earn millions from. It's just
No.
really not, really not.
Like, I know someone that won, so she won her pro show to the Olympia, but that money that she won basically just paid for her to go to the Olympia. Because by
Yeah.
the time you've the flights from the UK to America, you've got to be out there a couple of weeks, your hair, your makeup, she's got a suit sponsor, all that. But she's like, well, that's basically just paid for me to go to the Olympia. Obviously she's gonna do it, but
Yeah, I mean, fuck, I'd go to Olympia and just stand at the back of the stage, you know, like if I was an athlete and could do that, that'd be amazing. But I think, yeah, it's you hear stories of girls, you know, chasing their pro card, spending 10 grand doing that. You know, if you've got that abundance of money, brilliant. But the reality is, for the most part, the majority of us do not have that. We can, you know, afford one show abroad, maybe two a stretch if it's not too far away in Europe. Certainly can't afford to do multiple shows in the States.
No.
I mean, if you, let's say, you don't have any dependents, you fucking raking it in from coaching, yeah, you could fly to the States and it's not that much money compared to what you're making per month. And you could stay out there for like 6 months and not be too detrimental to your business. But, you know, how many people can say they can do that? What, one or two? Just, yeah. So the reality is, you know, there's limited opportunities here in the UK. There's two or three pro qualifiers across the year in IFBB. PCA, there's four. What I love about PCA is they're now doing international pro qualifiers, which is really cool. And that's what I was talking about, the guy from the Netherlands. I was like, we'll go do PCA Amsterdam next year. For Kennedy, that was an option, certainly for us. If she didn't get the card at PCA Scotland, she was going to go do Amsterdam. You know, which that you come back and say, well, Vaughan, you don't want to travel internationally. No, that's true, but I still every now and then wouldn't mind a few that do that. And I was going to go. I was going to literally fly because I was talking about her, Chris, and Stacia doing it. I was going to fly after Tour of Scotland to Amsterdam. You know what I'm saying? So I don't need to go. I don't need to go now, right? She won her card. Chris isn't doing that. Stacia's season's done. So yeah, it's in the reality is the majority of people that do this is, and I'm sure, will do it domestically. Very few internationally. Albeit, it's all you'll see on Instagram.
I
You know
think
what
as well, it's what like excites you. Like, I want to go abroad because it's exciting, you
I'm
know?
saying? Yeah, 100%. It's you get a holiday from it as well.
Well, it depends how well you do.
Yeah.
You do, if you don't quite get it, you're like, ah, you're gonna go somewhere else next week. Like, you're not having a holiday,
Yeah.
man.
That's the
You
thing. Like
might get.
people say that as coaches, oh, it must be great because you're flying there. I'm like, look, when like for example, Jay and Will did Poland, like flew to Poland, got a taxi from the airport to the accommodation, stayed at the accommodation, went to the show, came back into the accommodation, got to the airport, flew home. as a coach.
We went out for dinner as well.
Oh, we did. Okay, right.
We did
That you
go
need to eat to
out
live. You need to eat to live, right? But yeah, I just think that. And again, it's more time away from the kids as well. More days traveling and stuff. So
like home was quite early the next day, wasn't it? We had the day.
6 a.m. Yeah.
Yeah, we had the day after, so Jade like came out with us, so that was nice. But
Yeah. Yeah.
do you know what it did for me? So I went to Rome last year, and it actually just made me want to go back for a holiday, because I went, fell in love with it, didn't get to see it all. Now I'm not just really want to go to Rome again.
Yeah, it's different when you're on prep, isn't it? Or if you're having a show that's a couple weeks after, because you're still trying to be mindful and you're still also like totally fucked physically, like fatigued, tired, that you don't
Yeah.
want to do 20,000 steps. You can't. You're too fucked. You're tired from the show. You just want to nap. Sometimes it's got a huge appeal, but the reality is like, make that abroad show your last one,
Yeah.
and then you can sleep a bit. You could then have a lazy day. Then you could go sightseeing. You could eat a bit more and whatnot, but yeah, for the large part, a lot of people will just get one international show in opposed to these, three or four or five in a row across the world.
Yeah, cool. And then my final question for you is, for everyone listening today, what was the one thing you'd like them to take away from this podcast?
I mean, if you're a coach, understand that it takes time to get to where you want to be, even as an athlete as well. For what you see on Instagram now is young coaches get into the game. If they don't get a client winning a sword or a pro card in their first season, they feel like they haven't achieved fuck all, and I can't put people on stage, I'm not any good, and they never get anywhere. Same with an athlete, like if they feel like I'm not winning my pro card and a sword in my first season, I'm shit. Like that's not the case, and that bodybuilding is all about being patient, and that if you continue to put in the work and put in the work and put in the work, like one day it will all pay off. Like you will climb up the ranks as an athlete. You will eventually win a show. You'll eventually win higher caliber shows. And perhaps one day when you're pro card as a coach, you'll go from putting your first person on stage that never placed, feeling like you're a nobody, to then one day they do win their PCA pro card. Maybe it took you 8 to 9 to get there, right? But you got there eventually. It just, regardless of whatever happens or what you see, don't let it deter you from what you continue to want to do on a daily action. You've got to take the With the highs, you equally got to take the lows. You got to embrace them and learn from them, and not let them dictate on who you feel your self-worth is as a coach or as an athlete. And yeah, I guess if that's a message to take from it, I hope that what my journey's done and what I've talked about and have experienced and still experienced can inspire others to not do that. Because I think if I was to look back on myself as a coach in 2017, I probably would have seen a young man that probably needed to experience the world a bit more and life a bit more, as in becoming a dad. Young man that was eager to learn and do well, but perhaps just didn't realise that this game just takes a lot of time and a lot of patience to get to where you want to be. And but I would have equally known that if he was looking back at me, he'd be like, "Yeah, I could understand why we're there now," And that just all comes from a mindset thing. But yeah, I'll stop rambling now. I think that's certainly enough.
No, that's lovely. Thank you so much. And if anyone wants to get in contact with you, where can they find you?
Prep Coach UK on Instagram or prepcoachuk.com website is where you'll get me. Probably get me quicker on Instagram, but can certainly get me on the website too.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining me on here. And thank you everyone for listening. If you've enjoyed this episode, please like, share, all of those fun things. And we will see you in the next one. Goodbye.